come from the other side tonight with the mic, and this is all going to be a bit weird. It's all right. Who's excited that it's Easter Sunday? Ooh, a few people. Who's eaten too much chocolate and is feeling it right now? Who's like just a little bit sick? But that's okay. Wow. Cool. How good is God, hey?
Yeah.
I just think that, I don't know, I'm hoping that I just feel like we should just have fun because it's Easter Sunday. And it's like, come on, we've got more reason to celebrate and to be happy than anybody else on the planet. And this is a time where we remember that reason, and that's just an incredible thing, amen? So, like, yeah, it's just great. And we just got so much, I think, to be thankful for and so much just to give God the glory and the honor for. And like, that's why I think why we say, like, God, I'll give you the glory for eternity because I know what you've done for me and I know who you are, and that's such an incredible thing, amen? Awesome. And so I'm stoked. Like, I love Easter. It's great, and it's just amazing that we are set free. That we don't have to be bound up. That we don't have to be caught up by stuff. But that Jesus beat death, and so we are set free. And that's a simple thing. Like, it's not a complicated theological argument, but it's this simple truth that it holds such power. Amen. It's this simple thing that is just so incredible that because of what Jesus did on the cross for us, we are completely free. And that's just amazing. Like, that just blows my mind and fills my heart. And I hope it does for you as well. And if it doesn't, then just let that sink into your heart a bit, because I think we can get caught up trying to debate whether Jesus was real or not, or if he was who he said he was or not. But if we accept that truth and then we see what he did for us, then, like, oh, it's just amazing, yeah? It's just incredible, amen? And I shouldn't have to psych you up about that or try and preach, like, hardcore so that you get excited about what Jesus has done in your life, because it's such an amazing thing, yeah? He's saved us. It's just... my message tonight is on a word, like just one word. Is that cool? I think it should be fun. It's like Andrew's dictionary extended version. So instead of just like a couple of lines of a definition, you're going to get like this half hour message on a word. And so my word tonight is redeem. Redeem. I feel like sometimes we use this word most often when we've got a coupon for a free Big Mac or something like that, and we're redeeming it. And so we have that sort of understanding of the word redeem or redemption or redeemer or redeeming, like, you know, that? But it's so much more than that. This word redeem is incredible. This word redeem is this amazing thing that can set us free. It's this amazing truth that releases us. And so I looked it up, redeem, because it's a word that appears in the Bible a lot. But the dictionary calls it this. It says, to buy or to pay off a debt, you redeem it. Or to obtain a release and restoration. It's like to pay a ransom, you redeem it. And so when you go to get that Big Mac, it's paid for. It's bought, it's paid for, you're just redeeming it, yeah? So this idea of redemption is so incredible. And so I looked up redeemer, and this definition blew me away because it's got two... You know how definitions have, like, options? Like one, this, two, this. Well, one for redeemer is person who redeems. The second definition of the word redeemer is Jesus Christ. How incredible is that? The dictionary just says... My definition of redeemer, Jesus Christ. That's amazing. It's just this word that is defined by Jesus. Like, amazing. And so, I was reading in this book called Ruth. Has everybody read Ruth in the Bible? It's kind of in there between Judges and Samuel. And I found that really interesting because these are books that are kind of these big deals. Like, Judges is all of these people that... are doing crazy stuff, and there's so many people in Judges, like Gideon, Samson, like all these stories that you know. And then Samuel, like, is this big thing about the prophet Samuel and how Israel gets a king. And then in between those is this book called Ruth about this woman named Ruth. Yeah? It's pretty simple. You're like, I wonder what Ruth's about? Well, it's about Ruth. Wow, that's cool. If only every book of the Bible was like that, it'd be so easy. Like, what does Psalms mean anyway? But this is easy, Ruth. And it's this story which I think is kind of a love story. Yeah? Oh. It's like a chick flick in the Bible. Just in the middle of the Bible, just a little chick flick. Chick lit, sorry, because it's written, not a movie. So it's kind of like the Pride and Prejudice of the Bible, but not. It's similar though. It's exactly the same, but different. They're completely different. But this story, Ruth, to get back on the point, and I'll give you like the story in a nutshell. So if you want to watch the movie, I don't think there is one, but I'm going to ruin the ending. So this is a spoiler alert. Is about this woman named Ruth, and Ruth. Well, we'll go back. So there's this couple called Naomi and Elimelech. There you go. Anyone having a boy? Just ideas. And so they're there. So there's Naomi and Elimelech, and there's this famine in where they live, in Bethlehem, and so they go to this place called Moab. And when they get there, they've got these sons, and these sons marry these Moabite women. And one of those women is Ruth, yeah? So they're there for a little while, and then Elimelech dies. Oh. And Naomi is left as a widow. And then it says, then after a bit longer, both of her sons die. This is not chick lit right now. It's a soap opera. No. So here we have like these guys that, because of this famine and this drought that was happening in Israel, left their hometown and went to this place called Moab because they thought it was going to be a better life. And then this stuff happens. And so then Naomi is left, this widow, with these two daughters-in-law, and she doesn't know what to do. So she's like, all right, we'll go back, because they'd heard that God was just doing amazing stuff back in Israel where they were from, well, where Naomi was from. And so she says, I'm going to go back. You guys, her daughters-in-law, you just stay here. Like, God will bless you. You'll find other husbands and all that sort of stuff. And so Oprah, well, it's not Oprah. It's like, it looks like Oprah. Where is it? Orpah. It's pretty close. So we'll call her Oprah for the sake of this. Is one of the daughters-in-law, and then Ruth is the other one. And so Oprah goes, okay, like, I'll go back to my people. But Ruth says, don't urge me to, in verse 16 of Ruth 1, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. So Ruth says, no, I want to go where you're going, Naomi, and I'm going to be with you, and your God is going to be my God. So, okay, so we're up to that. So they go back to Israel. We're trying to abbreviate this, but it's a bit of a long story. So hopefully I don't skip some stuff out, but bear with me. There is a point. And so they go back to Bethlehem, and they're there, but they've got nothing. Like they're widows, and they've got no food. And so Ruth goes out gleaning, which is basically what they do, is out in the fields, like, people are harvesting, and they miss stuff when you're harvesting, stuff gets left on the ground. And so they would go out, like Ruth would go out, and she would pick up all of the stuff that people had left behind so that they would have something to eat, yeah? Okay, so then they're doing that, then she meets the owner of this one field that she's going to, his name is Boaz. And he's the romantic lead, okay? So we've got Ruth and we've got Boaz, and he sees Ruth and he starts just giving her extra stuff and says to his servants, let her pick whatever she wants and even just leave some of the grain just there for her. Like, don't, she doesn't have to pick up. So he sees her and he says this stuff and she finds favor in his eyes, it says. But anyway, so that keeps going on, and then it gets to this part where there's this thing in Jewish culture called a kinsman redeemer. That sounds cool, yeah? A kinsman redeemer. And Boaz has this opportunity to be the kinsman redeemer for Ruth, which means he pays her debt, buys whatever property that Naomi owns because of her husband, and Ruth becomes his wife. Okay? And so he goes and he does that. And I'm just cutting that real short. But that's basically what happens. And so then Ruth becomes the wife of Boaz. Yeah, it's the happy ending, yeah? And then right at the end of Ruth 4, it says this. It says, it says that the Lord enabled her to conceive. She gave birth to a son so that they have kids. And then you look at this line, the genealogy of David. So David, king of Israel, who Jesus is a descendant of, come back to Ruth and Boaz. How amazing is that? So here's this person who is just, she's got nothing. She's a widow. She's in this foreign land because she's not an Israelite. She's a Moabite. And she doesn't have anything, but Boaz loves her. And so he redeems her. And incredible stuff happens. Yeah? Awesome. There's the chick lit. Kinsman Redeemer. And so, okay, I'm just going to explain this concept of a kinsman redeemer just a little bit. Basically, what would happen is so for whatever reason, you become bankrupt. Like, so bad stuff happens to your family, you run out of money, you have to declare bankruptcy. What you would do is you would become a slave to somebody to pay off your debts. So you would enslave yourself because there was no way that you could make that money back to pay off the debts. You were bankrupt. A kinsman redeemer is somebody that is in your extended family who can pay those debts for you and free you. We get it? All right. So they need to be, there's some rules here. They need to be family. It's not like weird, creepy family, like they were cousins and they got married. Don't worry. They just need to have that sort of relation. They need to be free of debt themselves. Obviously, they can't be in debt or they wouldn't be able to release you from debt. They need to be able to afford the ransom and they need to be willing to do it. So there's this other guy in Ruth, actually, who was technically first in line to be Ruth's kinsman redeemer. But because she was a Moabite and he didn't want anything to do with that, he said to Boaz, no, you redeem it, I don't want it. And so Boaz does, yes? Yeah? So that's how the kinsman redeemer thing works. And so in Ruth, Boaz is the kinsman redeemer. Were you with me? In my life, in your life, in our lives, Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. He is this person who became a man. So he became like one of us, family, yeah. He was free of debt. So he had never sinned. Because our debt isn't money. Like our debt isn't like what you owe on your credit card or something like that. But our debt is sin. And Jesus came and he had never sinned. So he was free of debt and able to free us of our debt, redeem us. And he could afford the ransom. Because he was perfect and because he was God, he could afford to pay the price for all of us when nobody else could. And he loved us, and so he wanted to do it, and he did do it. And so he is our kinsman redeemer. How awesome is that? So really, just like Ruth and Boaz is a love story, Easter is a love story. Because it's about Jesus who loved us so much that he became a person so that he could be one of us. He went through all of these things that he had to do so that he could redeem us. So that he could buy us. He could pay that debt. Because I think sometimes we have this idea of redemption and we think that we can get redemption. We can achieve redemption. You see it in movies a lot, and the character is flawed, but they do something selfless or amazing or sacrificial, and they redeem themselves. And so I think sometimes we have this idea of like, I can just redeem myself. Like if I do the right thing, if I act right, I can redeem myself. But we need to realize that we need a redeemer. We can't redeem ourselves. There is no way that we can do that. We slaves. We were slaves. It's like Ruth. There's no way that here she is relying on the charity of the people around her, gleaning grain, that she could save up enough to pay off that debt. Like, it's just not going to happen. It's like, I don't know, it's like you buy a brand new car and it costs you $20,000, and so you have this massive debt because you didn't have the cash, so you know how you do it and you get the finance and all that sort of stuff happens. But there is no way you can pay that because you work like one shift a week at McDonald's and for some unknown reason the bank gives you a loan anyway. Maybe that's why we had a global financial crisis, but they give you the loan anyway, and so there is no chance that you can pay off that loan yourself, so you will just constantly be in debt for the rest of your life. We getting it? That's where we're at. That's us, where we have no chance of paying off this debt ourselves. Like, we have this amazing thing, and we are running around trying to glean what we can in order to redeem ourselves, thinking that we can do that and survive. In Psalm 49, it says, "Why should I fear when evil days come, when wicked deceivers surround me? Those who trust in wealth and boast of their great riches. No one can redeem the life of another or give to God a sufficient ransom. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough, so that someone should live on forever and not see decay. For all can see that the wise die, and that the foolish and the senseless also perish, leaving their wealth to others. Their tombs will remain their houses forever, their dwellings for endless generations, though they had named lands after themselves. Human beings, despite their wealth, do not endure. They are like beasts that perish. This is the fate of those who trust in themselves and of their followers who approve their sayings. They are like sheep destined to die. Death will be their shepherd, but the upright will prevail over them in the morning. Their forms will decay in the grave, far from their princely mansions. But God will redeem me for the realm of the dead. He will surely take me to himself." We live in this world where we think that our wealth means something, where we think that we can earn enough and we can do enough in our own strength. We can have things named after us, or we can have a mansion or something, and that will somehow redeem us when we die. But the Bible says that the price of a life is far too costly. You can't pay that back. You can't pay the debt that you need to pay. There's just no way of doing it. Just like Ruth, we need a redeemer. We can't redeem ourselves, yeah? Is everybody with me? We need somebody to pay back that debt. We need somebody to redeem us. So this word redeem is an amazing word. Are you starting to see that it's an incredible word? I think it is. And so Jesus redeems us. That was why he came to earth. Matthew 20, verse 28. Dad read this passage from Mark this morning, and so I thought, just to be different, I'll just read it from Matthew, so you see that it's in more than one place. But it says this: "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Yeah? To give his life as a ransom. He's the only one who can. He's the only one who could give his life as a ransom for us. I read this interesting thing today when I was looking some of this up, and it said, even if somebody else had lived a perfect life, like even if I was completely perfect for my whole life and then offered that as a sacrifice to somebody else, the best I could do would be to save one other person. Like, that's the best. So if I was completely perfect, I could give my life for one person. But Jesus, because he is eternal, because he is God and gives up that for us, can pay the ransom for all of us. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Like, it wasn't just a matter of him living a perfect life, but it was a matter of him giving up immortality for us and saying, I will give that for you, because that's the ransom price for every person on the planet. And so I will give it up. I'll become a person. I'll become a man and live on earth in all of the rubbish for you, because I want to redeem you, because I love you. Boaz is moved in Ruth. He is moved by his love for Ruth to redeem her. Yeah? So he does that because he has the ability to do it. He has the ability and he has the motivation. There was this other guy that had the ability, but he didn't have the motivation. But for us, there is only Jesus who has the ability and who has the motivation. And he says, I want to redeem you. I want to redeem your life. It's just incredible. Jesus, because of his love for us, does what Boaz did for Ruth and pays the debt. Pays it off flat. Pays every single thing that we owe. Just flat out just pays it. Isn't that amazing? It says in 1 Peter 1:18, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. It says, Jesus didn't come and earn enough money to pay off our debts, but he paid it through his perfect blood. That's the truth of Easter. That's the reality of the Easter message, amen? Yeah. That we're here and we're slaves and we have no hope of escape, and there's stuff in our lives that just controls us. And everybody knows what I'm talking about. And there's that stuff and there is just no hope. There's just no way that you can pay that off by yourself. But Jesus says, I will pay that debt for you. Yeah. I will buy it. I will redeem it. I will redeem you so that you don't have to pay that debt anymore. Yeah. The debt wasn't just cancelled. God didn't just say, oh, don't worry about it. But it was paid in full by Jesus' blood on the cross, yeah? It was completely paid so that we could be free. Yeah. And so that we could live in that freedom that we can enjoy now. If you read through Ruth, you realize that once she's redeemed and once she marries Boaz, she doesn't go back to gleaning grain. She's the wife of the guy that owns the whole land. She doesn't need to be a slave. She doesn't need to do that. She's redeemed. It's the same with us. We don't need to do the things that we were slaves to. We don't need to go back to gleaning. We don't need to do that anymore because we've been redeemed. Yeah. I think sometimes people think about Christianity as like this set of rules that you can't do, where realistically it's saying, no, you can be free of that rubbish that was controlling your life before. Amen? Because of what Jesus did for you on the cross, you don't have to be controlled by that anymore. You can live in freedom. That's such an amazing thing. Yeah. I feel like you're not quite like, is that amazing? Good. I just love it that Ruth, she doesn't have to go back to doing that same stuff. But she's free. Yeah. And because of her freedom, Jesus is her descendant. How incredible is that? God says, like Boaz is there and he redeems her. And it's not enough that he says, all right, I've freed you, I've redeemed you, now go do whatever you want. But he loves her and he blesses her and she has this incredibly fruitful life and God blesses her. And because she was redeemed, because she loved God, like incredible blessing comes and her descendants are kings and her descendant is the savior of the planet because she was redeemed. Amazing. And it's the same for us. God doesn't just redeem us. Like Jesus didn't just die on the cross and then just say, well, that's it, your debt's done, so just hang out until you're in heaven and then we're all sweet, like it's all paid, your ticket to heaven is there, so you're good now. But he says, no, you can have freedom right now in your life. And you can be free of the stuff that's held you back and the things that have controlled you. You can have that freedom and live in that blessing right now. And I'm not saying that the life is just going to be without problem or trial or anything like that, because that's just not true. I'm sure that Ruth and Boaz had bad days. I'm sure that there were days where they're just like, I don't really want to be around you right now, Boaz, because of what you said. Like, that's in chick lit, isn't it? Somewhere. I just can't be near you right now. So there's that stuff. It's happened. That's life. But it's this incredible life of blessing, an incredible life of freedom, amen? And where we don't just have to be bound up by anymore, but we can be free from all of that. So that's my message tonight. Redeem. When you think about Easter, don't think just about the chocolate, but about being redeemed. That Jesus bought you at a price. That he was willing to pay what needed to be paid so that you could live in freedom. Isn't that incredible? That just like Boaz loved Ruth and so paid the price, because he had to buy a whole bunch of stuff to redeem her. If you read the story, like, he had to have the cash to go and say, I'm going to buy all of that land and I'm going to redeem you. So he was able to do it, and in the same way, Jesus is able to redeem us, and he does, and he did, and it's an amazing thing, and it's an amazing truth, and because of who he is, he wasn't bound by death, but he rose again on Easter Sunday so that we could have relationship with him, that we could be redeemed by him, and we could live in complete freedom. It's just so amazing, yeah? Amen? It's just awesome. I'm just going to pray. God, we just thank you so much for your redemption, that you loved us so much that you sent Jesus to die for us so that he would pay the price that we owed. God, on our own, we have no chance of redeeming ourselves. But because of what you did on the cross, Jesus, we are redeemed. So Lord, we thank you, and we pray that we would just live lives that honor that redemption and live lives in freedom and not let ourselves just be bound by the things that you've freed us from, God. Just while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to give you a chance to respond to God and accept that redemption. So you don't know Jesus maybe, and you don't have a relationship with him, and you think that it's a bit hopeless, that you can't redeem yourself. Well, you don't have to, because Jesus has redeemed you. So if you want me to pray with you about accepting that redemption, then I just stick up your hand so that I can see, and then we'll just pray together. Awesome. If you responded, just pray in your heart as I pray. God, we thank you so much for what you've done for us, for Jesus' death and resurrection, God, and that he beat death and he paid the price for our sins. God, we want to commit our lives to you tonight and pray that you would just use us for your glory for eternity, God, and that we would be people that live in the freedom that you have given us, not in the bondage that we give ourselves, God. So, God, we just thank you for your sacrifice and your love for us and that we are redeemed. Just thank you, God. Also, I don't know, I just want to quickly pray. Maybe there's something that you just feel like you want to be free of, and you feel like you've been struggling with it or you've been bound up by it, but God's just saying you don't need to be bound by that anymore, because I've redeemed you. I've paid that debt. I've paid that price so that you can be free. So I don't know what it is, but I just want to give that opportunity real quick. Just, you don't have to move or anything. You can just raise your hand and I'll just pray with you, but just say, God, I just want to accept your redemption and your freedom. And pray that you would just free me of everything and just really claim that. Because we can claim it. We can have every confidence, the Bible says. Awesome. God, I thank you for people who've responded and put up their hands or opened their hearts, God. And pray that you would just show us that freedom that we have, God. That you would just release us from the things in your name, Jesus. And that we would see the stuff that's been binding us up, or or that's been a stronghold in our life or anything like that, God, just be broken off because of your love and grace and because you pay the debt. God, we thank you that we don't have to live bound by the stuff of this world anymore, Lord, but that you have freed us and we can live in that freedom. So, Lord, we just pray that you would just make that real in our hearts and in our lives and day to day, God, that we would just live out the freedom that you have freely given us. Amen. Awesome. There you go. Sweet. These guys are going to play something. Let's have, just hang out and have a bit of fun. Like, it's Easter Sunday, so you don't have to go to work tomorrow. You can just have some fun.